AT&T knows the best kind of holiday is the kind where everyone gets what they wished for. Make this holiday extra happy when you buy one, get one free on our most popular smartphones, like the Samsung Galaxy S6. Buy one, get one free. So spread some cheer and capture every minute of it. Right now at AT&T, buy one, get one free on our most popular smartphones.
How many artists record songs during their high school years which turn into Grammy winners and number one Billboard hits? How many artists do you know that pound the pavement daily until they're face-to-face with people like Ellie Reed, Sean Combs, Notorious B.I.G., Faith Evans, and more? How many artists have success within a group and then have mainstream commercial success as a solo star? People, tonight on the Million Dollar Mindset Talk Show, hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit and syndicated globally on the EAE radio network, over 30 licensed digital stations in 30 different radio markets, and maintains a listening audience of over 2 million monthly. And still growing, people. We have major recording artist Slim in the building, and the world already knows him from the supergroup 112. Three numbers that belong to four guys. This is history, baby. Tonight, for real, we're super excited. Tonight, Slim speaks his truth on a Million Dollar Mindset, and it's totally unleashed. This is Jonathan with the Million Dollar Mindset, hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit, syndicated globally and powered by EAE Radio. Over 30 licensed digital stations in over 30 different markets, over 2 million listeners monthly globally. Tonight, we are super, ultra excited to have one of the greatest voices that we've heard from the 90s up until now. Consistent. Every time you hear his voice, you know it's him. The history that him and his group has made over the past, I would say, 20 years has been something that hasn't flown under the radar, but more and more people need to hear about. They have been a part of music history from all angles, from Billboard to independent charts to world tours to ushering a new sound to make it where everybody wants to sound like that guy or everybody wants to be like that group. All positivity. You never hear anything off the field about these guys, never anything in the street. They live by the code of musicianship and being a professional. We're honored to have Slim, independent artist, major recording artist, and also the famous supergroup 112 on the talk show tonight. Slim, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Man, this is definitely refreshing. I just really love when I do interviews and they know exactly, you know, just the background of the accomplishments and, you know, just the work endeavors that we've been just doing and I've been doing for like the past 20 years. So I really, really appreciate that.
Definitely. Well, that's one thing about interviews and getting the word out to people. I mean, there's all of your real fans, they want to know, what was it like when you were recording Cupid? Like, what was it like when it was recording this song or that song? I mean, your music, the group's music, is timeless. I mean, if you go back to the first album, to the second album, to the third album, and you go back to all the individual success that you guys have had, and you personally, I mean, each one of you all have a unique vibe and voice. I want to get right into it. It's the end of 2015. You've had 365 days to move, accomplish things, not accomplish things. How was 2015 for you? Did you hit your marks? And on New Year's Eve that night, right before midnight, what were you feeling? Like, what was the energy around you like, Slim?
Well, you know what? The year 2015, it was a year of where I thought that I thought that I was pretty much going into the year. I thought I was going one way, but you know, sometimes, you know, like, that's how God works. You know, like, just when you think you have a plan and God shows you that He has a plan for you. So, I mean, you know, I was very, very blessed to be able, you know, going into 2016 to be around people I love. And, of course, we're always out on the road. I'm always on the road. And you know, always doing shows or always doing something. And, you know, I found myself very, very thankful and grateful for just, you know, just having a plan. And at the beginning, you know what, like, whatever I've done in the year 2014, now it doesn't even matter anymore. Like, you know, and now it's about adding on to what I've done and then feeling very grateful at the end of 2015 to say, hey, you know what, not only did I do what I was supposed to do, I exceeded my expectations. So, I'm pretty much grateful for that.
Definitely. I want to highlight maybe two or three points for 2015. What was maybe one thing that stood out that you accomplished or something that you were involved in that made you prouder or you just marked off your list? Like, what was one main thing that you can share with the audience? Could have been business-wise, personal-wise, but what was one thing that, you know, what was one notch in your belt that you accomplished in 2015?
Well, business-wise, you know, the one thing that really stood out was to actually finish a project, and, you know, and have one step closer to, you know, filling the appetite of the fans that I've been, like, running into and they're saying that, you know, we definitely miss your music, you know, and the sound and the content of what's been going on with R&B, you know, they definitely, you know, they felt like that, you know, I definitely could touch a void. So I've really been working feverishly to, like, get that music out and, you know, just kind of, like, cross all the T's and dot all the I's. And, you know, that situation right there in itself, like, I'm very proud of that situation. Now, personally, because, you know, as time changes, you know, sometimes, you know, time kind of lets you know, like who are your real people, who is there for you, who's not. You know, they might have some type of ulterior motive or whatever. And, you know, because of this, because, you know, the business I'm in, you know, sometimes, you know, you can be swamped with so many things that sometimes it kind of clouds your mind with the people that are around you. So I'm just very blessed that, you know, a lot of things worked itself out. You know, time's definitely been on my side. And, you know, I feel like I'm coming into this whole whole situation as far as the music and everything is, like, going is in the right direction. So I'm just happy about it.
Absolutely. It's January 1st, 2016, and you have actually, the new year has begun. When you're looking in that mirror and it's like whatever time you get up, 5 a.m. or whatever, what do you tell yourself on the first day of the year? Because I know myself personally, every day I wake up and I give myself like a 30-second meditation in the mirror. I say a few words, I look myself in the eye, I gotta tell myself the truth, and then I start my day. That's just me personally. So on January 1st, 2016, how did you start your year?
Well, you know what? Like, I have this tradition where 7 days before the new year, I do, like, analysis of what my accomplishments, my pros, my cons. Did I hit the mark? Did I cancel? Did I miss the mark in certain areas? Not all areas of my life. And, you know, once I get my analysis there, then on the first, I pretty much have my, you know, goals that I've already set. So I'm already, in my mind, I'm already, you know, headstrong going into that direction. Now, every day, yes, I do. I say a small prayer saying, you know, thank you, Lord, for just putting me in an amazing situation where, you know, I'm able to accomplish my goals and stuff like that. Because, you know, growing up the way I have, and, you know, I've always had all kind of situations where, you know, people tell you what you can and can't do. Because, you know, I grew up in a, you know, not so friendly type of a, like, neighborhood where, you know, you have a silver spoon in your mouth or anything like that. You know, I grew up in a hood where, you know, they tell you, hey, you probably can't accomplish those type of dreams. A lot of the goals that I had set out at that time, you know, seem unreachable. But what I can say, you know, I'm grateful. When I say my prayer, I say, thank you, Lord, for, like, making it happen anyway. And it doesn't take but like 3 to 5 minutes. It's not even that, you know what I mean? It's just a blessing. So that's pretty much my thing.
Absolutely. And I love your humility. I mean, you are so humble. I love your state of mind because you're showing gratitude toward the things that really make up not only a superstar, but just a superstar of a human being. The humanitarian side of your life is really coming full circle, and I could hear just the seasoning in your voice and your appreciation just for life and just the way all the blessings that you have. Tonight, we have Slim, independent major recording artist of supergroup 112, on the Million Dollar Mindset tonight. He talks to us his truth. He speaks about his passion. He talks about, he's going to be discussing his drive, his inner focus, and why his brand is here to stay and not going anywhere. This talk show is hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit, powered, syndicated globally on the EAE radio network, over 30 licensed digital stations, over 2 million listeners per month globally. Slim, I want to get right into when it comes to your past. When you felt like music was going to be a forever part of your body, mind, and soul, describe that moment. Like, what made you make such a big commitment? Because you're not just some indie artist. You're so successful. You've had success. You've worked around. You've been around some of the greatest minds in the game, from Notorious B.I.G. to Stevie J to Mario Winans, Sean Combs, Harv Pierre, Russell Simmons. I mean, you have a Rolodex that extends from here to Hawaii. So I want to talk about what really fueled the superstar we see now. Like, what gave you the courage and just the whole feng shui to go further?
Well, you know what? I think it would start when I was, like, young, you know, when I was, like, pretty much to myself. At the time, I was kind of, like, an introvert, you know, so I kept to myself or whatever. And, you know, I had kind of noticed that, you know, I could hear notes and put together musical compositions. Like, you know, I was able to, like, put words and put it into, like, musical form. I kind of known that when I was, like, 6-7 years old. So once from there, I looked at it as far as it being like a hobby to more of a, like, you know, like, as I start getting older, I started taking it more seriously. And, you know, it was more of a passion I could not explain. It was like a fire burning, and I couldn't put it out. I couldn't exactly understand why I had this type of burning on the inside of myself. And it was like the only way I can scratch that itch or put out that fire burning was something musically, whether I had to sing it out, I had to write it,
right,
express myself some kind of way musically. Mm-hmm. So as things started getting better and better, you know, I grew up in the church, you know, gospel music is definitely moving. So, like, the certain words that you would say and then the way you would say it was so, like, it was so moving to me, to where I felt like, you know what, I can feel like this, like, as long as I'm going in that direction, I really see that, you know, this is the way I should be going, you know. As I started going, getting older, I was blessed to meet the guys from 112 at an early age. And, you know, we were in school, like middle high school, when we would get together, and we all shared the same passion. And to this day, you know, it still feels the same way. We still have the same drive, and I still have that same fire. So, you know, I'm blessed that God put me in this situation where, yes, I'm just very, very able to meet other people with the same passion, the same drive, and feel like they owe it to the world to put a footprint as far as music is concerned, you know. So that's where I'm at with it.
Definitely. You know, the way that you describe, you know, how you had to just sing about your pain, talk about your pain, you know, just the way that you would just distribute it is just amazing. Like,
yeah,
those were all telltale signs of where your passion was trying to pull you, and it was pulling you to where you are now. So definitely much love and respect on that. I want to do a little bit of a U-turn. Now, I wouldn't say a U-turn, but I want to do a U-turn, then turn back upfield. I want to kind of go into the moment of when you and the guys, when you made that initial step into the fact that you felt like you were going to be a star in this game as a unit. When was that moment, and what did that feel like to yourself?
Well, you know what? I kind of feel like when we were always together, we were like kids. You know, like we used to not just practice and stuff all the time, but we were always, you know, watch our certain awards, whether it was the MTV Awards or BET or Soul Train Awards or every Grammys, everything. We used to always sit together. We used to make it it was like a special occasion. We would get together, and we would probably, you know, get some popcorn or something like that, stick it in the microwave, whatever, you know. And then we used to really just, like, look at each other and be like, you know, man, you know, we're going to get there. We will always, like, you know, lift each other up and say to each other that, you know, that one day you know, if we work hard enough, God is going to give us that, you know, ability where we're going to be in that same position. And then we always talk about, like, well, what we're going to say, what we're going to represent, you know. So when we got that special, like, when you have the breakdowns from the times we used to win, from the talent show days to being discovered by the guy that, you know, and he's been managed for all these years, you know, to actually, you know, standing in front of the club, which is called 112, and actually, you know, singing for Puff, and you know, and then later going to the studio, and yeah, we met the very nice, very talented young lady. We now know as our sister Faith Evans and TLC and everybody. We were like really met. When I tell you, they were just. It just felt like that we were accomplishing something. Even though if it wasn't even on paper, it felt like we won a Grammy just by accomplishing that.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you take four guys from just the neighborhood that we were from, you know, we were like 1 mile walking radius from each other. That was just a blessing in itself. And, you know, with all of the obstacles, you know, where people used to say that, you know, well, why should we take you seriously? We weren't as blessed as like a Boyz II Men that, you know, went to a musical school. Or, you know, we weren't around, we weren't in a neighborhood that we were able to touch certain things, you know. Deron had to teach himself how to play piano. We had to teach ourselves notes and, you know, and just practice over and over again when we used to study the notes with Take Six and Commission, you know.
Right.
So we never took anything for granted. We took nothing for granted. And, you know, we just try to build on that. So when we got to the part of where we signed the contract, that's when we were saying, you know what, this is accomplishment. This is our door. We haven't really made it yet, but this is our door opportunity. We get in this door, we're never walking back out of this door. So that's it was just an amazing feeling. It was just like a big accomplishment. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, whether it seemed like something so small or very big when we won our first Grammy, you know, it was, they all felt the same way. And it was always that accomplishment, you know, and it's always that drive to keep even myself going on a personal level, you know, to just keep going to the next level.
Excellent. Awesome. And, you know, the way you explain that journey is just like epic, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about everything that you just said. Like you just said that just by meeting all those people, you know, you felt like you're accomplishing. I want to talk personal. When you guys were in Sean Combs' office and you actually signed the contract, you now are a part of, at that point, Bad Boy was on fire. You know, already, you know, Big was there. I mean, there were only two labels at that point that were making noise, Death Row and Bad Boy. At that particular time, how did you feel when you were just alone by yourself and you, this guy, you know, from the streets, I mean, and basically everything that you just said, self-made group, had to teach yourself how to play instruments. There is no money for a tutor to do this, or, you know, you guys were literally, you know, the rose that grew from concrete. The roses, brother.
Right.
The roses that grew from concrete. So how did it feel when you were by yourself and after you had signed on just with Bad Boy and knew that you were now part of history for real? Because you guys didn't come in and sit the bench. You guys came in there like Kyrie Irving, just scoring points. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, definitely shout out to the big homie, Kyrie. But how did you feel personally, you know, regarding signing that contract and being in that moment?
Well, you know what, in actuality, when we signed the contract, Bad Boy wasn't out yet. So, you know, we were kind of like taking a leap of faith. I'm telling you, like, my mom was advanced. I never forget the day where, you know, I had to come and tell her, like, Mom, you know, sign this contract. The name of the label is called Bad Boy. You know, and it's like, my mom looking at me like, what? And then, you know, being from the South, you know, New York was looked at a certain kind of way at the time, you know. And, you know, she was like, oh, my God, you know, I'm letting you go out into the trenches of New York City. But then I told her, you know, I was like, well, Mom, hey, this is the perfect opportunity for all of us, you know. And I ain't frightened, you know, like once everything started going the way it was, the music started popping and, you know, like, you know, we were blessed to not just come right out, but to watch other artists come out. Like, we used to hang with Notorious B.I.G. and Faith used to bring us along on the road so we could watch them to see exactly how they would handle certain things, you know. That was just the whole aspect of the Bad Boy family. That was cool. That's for real. You know, and it was just like, kind of like homework, but on a musical sense. Like, you know, okay, this is how you handle this.
Gotcha.
Whether you start the good, bad, and the ugly, you know what I mean? And then when you start the levels from going from me being in the studio with Big when Big was recording certain records on an album, nobody knows, and to now you see it at a catapult where just where it's superseding everything, you know, it's topping situations. It was amazing. Like, so, you know, I still had that same feel, like, as I do right now. I always kept a humble approach because, you know, at the end of the day, it was like, I guess me being a nerd too, you know, I always had like a 3-year plan instead of a 5-year plan. Okay, in the event that this doesn't work, then you take this money, you put it this way, you know, a lot of things were just unbelievable, but then at the same time, I still have this pocket of humbleness and a sense of reality, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes the fame rises faster than your actual pockets, because that was happening at one time. On the first album, I was still in the hood.
Oh, yeah, that's everybody. Definitely, that's everybody.
Yeah, you know.
First deal.
Yeah, you know, and everybody's thinking that, yo, you're rich. Oh, we see you on TV. Oh, we see you standing by Puff. Oh, you're standing by, you know, oh, you're doing this. Oh, man, you're out there with this basketball player, football, you know, and they see you out. But at the same time, the humbleness and the reality is that this is like a 9-to-5. You treat this situation as such. If you blow the money just like anywhere else, it doesn't matter if you're a blue, white collar. It doesn't matter what type of... if you blow this money, I mean, where are you going to be at? So that's exactly how I looked at it. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, you know, that's the only way to look at it, because until you've made a certain amount of money, you know, any label has to recoup, you know, just the fact of, because obviously the fame and the connections and everything that come with signing to a super company like a Bad Boy, when you next to Sean Combs and you're next to Notorious B.I.G. and Faith Evans, you're already next to branded franchises, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that you guys came in and automatically Biggie just co-signed you guys, because obviously God-given talent. All of you guys have God-given talent, because all of y'all can uniquely sing. And sing from a solo perspective, but it blends like a group. That's what's so crazy, right?
Right. That was the whole catch of 112. Well, you have 4 lead singers to come together and make it work, put together the perfect equation, the perfect storm to where everything works. So, you know, we did and we still do have the equation of 112. You know, it doesn't work for probably any other group or whatever, but for our situation, we know how to make it work, you know, and a lot of that came with, you know, us being real homeboys. We had real friendships, you know, from the door, you know. We weren't put together, you know, there were no A&Rs or any type of musical, anybody saying, hey, well, he has to sing baritone. This person right here is the lead singer. You know, it wasn't like that. We pretty much kind of like carved our own niche and how 112 is going to be presented in the world. So that's an amazing thing.
Absolutely. I want to delve into the initial, and then I'm gonna jump in, and then I'm gonna jump 2 more steps on the group, and then I'm gonna jump back to you personally. But what was the writing and the development process like on the initial first run album? Because the first album came out in what year?
It came out in 96.
Right, 96. Bad Boy was already around in 96. Bad Boy was Bad Boy was up and running for like 2 years, right? 3 years at that point.
Yeah.
Right. So, what producers, you know, kind of vibe with y'all the best, and what was the production and writing process? Because that first album, I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, it's hard to duplicate the first success, even though you guys had, you know, that second album was good, but the third album was crazy. You know, I mean, I think the third album could have been like better than almost like the first two, only because sonically and musically, you guys were such in a different place. It's like it was like Randy Moss when he shifted gears on the field. It's like you guys just ran, like you just was here and then it was a different speed. So just go back to that first album, because that was all the pressure. That was can they really vibe at the big level? What was that production process like? What producers did you vibe with the most? And how did you feel being, you know, basically, you know, the main guy up front?
Well, you know what? The first album was really, and people really trip on this, like, the first album was really recorded, a lot of those records were recorded before we had Deal. We were still in high school at the time, and we were blessed to be found from a talent show by this guy named Courtney Sills. He was our manager. He ended up being our manager. But he had a relationship with certain people, and one was included Dallas Austin, Tim and Bob.
Okay.
So, and at that time, Tim and Bob was signed to Dallas Austin. And basically, you know, in a nutshell, we would always come up there all the time because we wanted to be signed with Dallas Austin. We were here in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we didn't have, it's not like how it is now, you know, where there's so many outlets and situations. You know, you can sign to a label as easy as, you know, like how it is now. Or you don't need to sign to a label at all. You know, back then, you know, you definitely needed an outlet. So Dallas Austin was one, L.A. LaFace was the other, you know, and we were trying to get signed, and we would come up there all the time. Courtney used to bring us there all the time, and we would be out there. I'm talking about school nights. We'd be out there 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. Didn't have to go back to school, you know. And, you know, with me, you know, I was juggling, like, scholarships, you know, and situations to make sure my grade point average was a certain kind of way. So it was like really crazy at the time. It was like nerve wracking, but at the same time, you know, you wanted it so bad, you know. So we got a chance to work with Tim and Bob, and with their Tim and Bob was working on Boyz II Men's second album at that time, on number two. And so we were blessed to be able to run into Wanye and Sean. And, you know, they were teaching us a lot of tricks and stuff like that. And that's where Not It Was Done and Can I Touch You came about. We were still in high school. And they were telling us, they were saying basically, like, they were getting into the songwriting process. So they were doing the stuff on their album. So it was very, they were basically saying that, like, the songs that they write, we were the only ones that could sing their songs properly. So they were being very, you know, instrumental in the sound and just, you know, just making sure that we were singing it properly and, you know, we understood not just singing, but there was a certain way of laying vocals and stuff like that. Tim and Bob was very, very instrumental in our sound, period. So you start hearing those sounds, those harmonies and stuff like that, you know, and then, you know, we were blessed, and when we got the deal, we were blessed to go to New York. We met with Stevie J, and, you know, and then, you know, we knew Mario Winans. Mario Winans was also signed to Dallas Austin. So a lot of that situation, like us, you know, bonding together, you know, musically and getting into the studio is like just like that. Now, the whole catch now was to take the sound, because we're from the South, take that soulful singing. And what's going to make us stand apart from the other groups? At that time, the people that were at the top were probably Boyz II Men, Jodeci.
Right.
In Condition, you know.
Drew Hill.
No, Drew Hill wasn't out at the time. So
that's right, Drew Hill wasn't out. And
at that time, these were the prevalent groups. So we felt as though, well, you know, as talented as we may think we are, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, 20% is the true talent and 80% is like really who you know and what's going on, you know. So what we said, you know what, we have to be trendsetters. We're going to stand out, we say, like, and we're going to do what we set out to do when we used to sit there on Mike's grandma's living room. We need to do something that people aren't doing. So then we start getting with Puff, and Puff, I never forget, like, he used to put me into this room, smaller production room. I used to play these 80s music. Over and over again. He had an equation for what Bad Boy, where he was going to touch. That's how, you know, Bad Boy really took that whole sampling situation and prevalently from the 80s. And, you know, taking that sound, who we are musically, and attaching it to hip-hop beats, hard beats or whatever, you know, and at the same time, you know, 112, because we knew what we stood for and we weren't going to compromise. We wanted to talk about things that everybody could relate to, what's going on in everybody's everyday life. Of course, you're teenagers, you know, our hormones and our situations were very, very dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, whatever we were going through, you know, you had to make a breakup or you met somebody. This is how you feel about this person or whatever, you know. That's how it was in the 90s. It was okay to express how you feel, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, so that's how, you know, we put those situations together, and thank God it worked. That's why you heard the On You situation. So that album right there, you know, it was just us being us, And then, you know, and linking with the right people. And I just feel like that first album was recorded more than just when we signed the contract. It was us when we were from high school. It was that album was recorded for years. So that's why it sounds that way.
Gotcha, definitely. Well, thanks for clearing up that, because that even makes the whole album even more historic, because you guys did it at an early stage. I mean, while you were in high school. I mean, that's crazy to have that kind of vocal range. We have Slim on the Billion Dollar Mindset Talk Show tonight, hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit, www.talktoshaylin.com. That's www.talktoshaylin.com. This interview is powered and syndicated globally on the EAE Radio Network, over 30 licensed digital stations, over 2 million listeners monthly globally throughout the world. I want to get right into this part. One more question, and then we're going to delve into you per se and the journey that you're on right now. Fan question from off Twitter. At Kimberly M. Ross wants to know, the video shoot for Peaches and Cream, how crazy was that?
Very, very cool, actually. Very, very cool.
I mean, you don't have to go all in the details. I'm sorry, and I didn't want to cut y'all something, but you have to go all in the details, because I know it's been a while. But man, that video, I can only imagine. It was like Tupac, How Do You Want It? You know, they shot two versions. They had shot the X-rated version and the clean version. But man, that Peaches and Cream, you guys set like a benchmark for what that word meant for forever. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, it was just the place where we were at the time, you know, where we knew where we were. We're very comfortable at where we were as a group. We were at a situation where we were trying to say we didn't want to be a one-dimensional type group where you just sit on stage or whatever. You know, we were blessed to be able to, from the first album, to go right onto tour. So when you're on tour, and then your first tour was the Isley Brothers, and then you go on to Keith Sweat, and then New Edition, and Janet Jackson. See, though, when you're going into those types of situations, you start seeing a lot of levels of where we can elevate our situation more and more. So one of the groups that we look up to very, very strong, and, you know, we kind of like, we really think that the epitome of groups, New Edition. Basically, it's because, you know, not only did they deliver amazing records, they also, you know, they were performers. So at that time, you know, we took our money and we kind of invested in ourselves so that we could learn how to dance. You know, we wanted to be a group where, you know, people not only just wanted to hear us sing over, you know, over the radio, you know, or just, you know, to come to see us. They didn't want to see four guys just walking around the stage. You know, that's kind of boring. You know, we wanted to really put on a show to where people say, oh, my God, they blew the roof off of that place. When we came and saw 112, oh, my God, this is the type of group we love, you know. So when we set for the put the whole Peaches and Cream situation together, we wanted to bring a sort of energy to where, when that video comes on, when you see, and you see that brand, and you hear the sound, the music sounded differently. You know, if you listen to the beat of Peaches and Cream, you know, we're from the South. We're signed to a label that's in New York, but it had a West Coast sound. Basically, we were aiming towards where we were saying, hey, we want to touch all aspects. And then if you notice in the video, it went into Dance With Me, you know, which Deron produced, you know, produced that beat, to where we wanted to show people that, you know,
right,
we could do BPM type situations where, you know, we can touch everybody globally, which that would prove that was an amazing mark there, because
amazing.
Dance With Me is one of the hugest records, you know, overseas, whatever. So we mixed all that situation with our swag of how we do things. You know, we were like, you know, as far as like our dress, like, we picked the young ladies that were in the video, just all kinds of stuff, you know, on the set. We had good friends. I had Sip the Shocker, my homeboy. Raven Simone had came and kicked it with us. Like, on the set, we had Entertainment Tonight doing interviews in the middle of the video shoot. This was, like, amazing, you know, like, and, you know, being young cats, you know, experiencing this, taking it all in, was just amazing, you know. So, you know, I'm just glad that everybody was able to, you know, appreciate it for what it was.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that video shoot, that song, I mean, every guy was jealous. Every guy wanted to beat her. And every woman and female, especially all the hot females, shout out to all the hot ladies. I mean, they were all like, I mean, it was a whole new craze created off that song, man. I mean, that song, Peaches and Cream, and then even Dance With Me. I mean, just the fact that New Edition was the last group to really invoke dance strong in a group. Right. And the fact that you, because Boyz II Men wasn't really a dancing group. Jodeci, they were not really a dancing group.
Right.
They were not. Drew Hill danced, for sure. Definitely. They had good rhythm. Drew Hill definitely represented. But, you know, 112, it was a different vibe because the way, you know, you guys were styled and groomed and everything like that. So, definitely. People were worldwide, and we always on Talk Shaylin Radio Network, powered, syndicated globally on the EAE Radio Network. We got Slim in the building from the supergroup 112, also major independent recording artist. You know, So Fly, everything else. The voice is synonymous with greatness. Definitely, from a sonic perspective, honored to have him on the show today. This show is sponsored by Pushers Collective. Pushers Collective is a premier clothing brand out of Canada. They style everybody from Chris Brown to Wu-Tang Clan to D'Angelo to Kid Ink, Tyga. They provide clothing for everybody. Pushers Collective clothes only in Canada. Exclusive print shop, tattoo shop, barbershop, all in one, over 20,000 square feet. When you're in Windsor, Canada, check them out. People shop from all over the world. You can only get it through the web. And today, just to let you know, Slim, Pushers will be sending you a nice gift set for their clothing, their premium tees, snapbacks. Everybody from Yo Gotti to Tank, everybody, 50 Cent has worn their garb. So we're going to get your sizes and everything from your manager and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely get that out to you, man. Definitely. I want to get into this. You look in the mirror, it's 2016. And this is the vision I have for you. And I need you to fill in the blank. I'm you for a second.
Okay.
I'm in a hotel room. It's quiet, overlooking the water. I'm staring in the mirror, and I'm hearing my history through my ears, the sounds of the group, myself singing the hallways, boom, boom, boom. Just images flashing across my mind, all kind of sounds and memories just blaring through my eardrums. When you open your eyes and look in that mirror, and it's just you, you alone, what do you see in 2016 in yourself?
You know, I just see just appreciation. I see appreciation, and I see consistency. You know, appreciation from starting from day one, where the music started, and what I have and what 112 has brought to the musical scene and all the way to now. 2016 is basically saying, you know, hey, you know what? It's time. It's time. There's a void that can be filled right here. That's a piece of R&B. I'm not all the way finished yet. You know what I mean? And 2016, I just see a resurgence of just real good R&B music, definitely taking a threshold over into mainstream R&B, and you know, just basically letting the young cats that are saying they're holding the title of R&B, that to know that hey, you have a responsibility also. Like, when I was younger, I had people to look after, look up to. I had Babyface, had Elder Buzz, had Smokey Robinson.
Right.
And I feel like I have really, I definitely have to make sure I make the right type of music so that the next artist that's younger than me can reach out and say, you know what, I listened to Slim, you know, he encouraged me to not only make music this way, but to live a certain kind of way. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that's the type of mark I'm leaving right here.
Well, I concur with you. I feel like you're leaving that mark. And our company, Talk to Shaylin, Renegade Revolt, EA Radio, we're going to help you do that more, because we're going to dedicate a page on the Talk to Shaylin website to your brand. And I wanted to make that announcement.
Wow, I really appreciate that.
Free of charge, no strings attached.
Wow.
We're going to create a nice page for you. I have events of this interview, other interviews you may have. You know, we can, you know, put your Twitter feed. Anything you want, it's going to be right in pocket. We want you to be definitely in tow with that. And we're excited, and we want to get behind your brand. You know, we work with a lot of celebrities organically because we obviously make money and do things through endorsement deals that we get for them and just cross-branding, because you have a great brand and we have a huge network, and we're going to constantly be promoting your music, because you got a new singer that we're going to get into, so we're going to be blasting that for free. And you get your royalties on our network, because EE Radio is the largest licensed digital network, just so you know. So, you know, we're definitely going to be doing that. But, you know, we have over 2,000 Twitter accounts that we're going to be blasting. You know what I'm saying? So definitely. So, you know, we got, you know, so definitely the whole team is behind you the same way we support Missy Elliott and everybody else. We're going to give you the same love. I want to get into your state of mind when it comes to music right now. What zone are you in? What mood are you in? What new emotions are you going to be sharing on some of these classic, and let me say that again, slow, classic, epic, timeless records that you're going to be dropping in 2016 and beyond? Like, what's your energy like right now? Like, what's the vibe like?
Oh, man, well, it's so self-explanatory with the title that I'm naming the album, and it's entitled Refuse. And I named it Refuse because from the last time when I dropped So Fly, I would use the same equation, basically filling that void with, you know, of course, what makes people dance, and at the same time, saying something that anybody could relate to, you know. And I felt like it was a very positive record. It was a very positive record. The album did very well. I had a go, man. So Fly went gold, you know, independently. Now,
high record, it should have went gold. Yeah, it should have went gold.
Yeah, you know, and, you know,
it was classic record.
Amazing. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, the you know, that was just an amazing feat. You know, the album Love's Crazy. It went, I sold six figures. It was amazing, you know. So now at 2016, I'm expecting even more, you know. And what I wanted to do was, first off, I love how the beats and stuff are going. You know, the one thing about standing and being in the business for 20 years, you notice everything, how the beats and stuff change. You know, when the producers start taking more to the forefront, when the admiration of the DJs, you know, the DJs are controlling the sounds and the feels, you know, so, and then they jump into production, you know, it's amazing. And then when it gets to right here, right now, I still love the energy as far as the records and the beats and stuff. Now, what does Slim stand for? Slim stands for the music, you know, the words that can, it's like medicine. That's what music is to me. You know, so what I've done on this album, you know, I'm not a person that can just, you know, 99.9% of my fans are females. So I can't really say anything derogatory. I can't really picture myself standing in front of a stage and looking at them in their eyes and singing a record that's derogatory. So, of course, those same beats are going to be just as hard. I can play my beats next to any hip-hop artist, any R&B artist, and it's going to bang. You know, it's going to bang. It's just the words are going to be more of a healing situation. It's going to be something that any person can relate to, whether they're 8 to 80. So this album is very eclectic. I probably drove Randall crazy as far as, you know, and my label that I did partnership with, as far as, you know, of course, they're thinking R&B, R&B. They may be thinking adult contemporary, you know. Well, with me, you know, one catch with Slim is that I have an amazing rapport with mostly all rappers, you know. And so, and, you know, and I have a hip-hop edge to me. So that side I didn't abandon. So that side still makes me like urban mainstream. So, of course, yes, I did a record with Rich Homie Quan. He's a homie. He's a real homie. He's from Atlanta. I know him. It's all love. Just big shout out to his little brother, Day-Day. Not Rich Homie's brother, but his manager, Day-Day, is actually brothers with Lil Dave that used to be from ABC. Remember ABC? Another band creation.
Of course, man. Yes. That was definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Biv. Yeah, that's Biv. Biv 10 Records. I remember that. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this is how small the circle is, you know. In actuality, Rich Homie's dad and my manager, they went to school together. So, you know, trust me when I tell you, this is like a family situation. When we got together, Rich Homie, when he heard the record, he said, oh, my God, yo, this record is crazy. I actually love this record. He jumped right in. Like, I don't even think he really did. Like, you know, it was more of the love of the song, more than even just the paperwork. Now, of course, we got the paperwork done and straight, you know, whatever. But, you know, but to see somebody actually embrace it, and he say that, man, this is what I need. This is what the world needs. The music game needs. Like, let's jump in and let's do it. So the record is entitled Never Gonna Break Up. So that's one of the records that I did. I did a great, and you know, and my album's eclectic. So whether it's strong R&B. I got a record where it's live instruments, straight up. When I said my head's in the clouds, so I'm feeling amazing, you know. I'm going back home to my girl. And I think any guy or anybody can relate to somebody. Like, when you work hard and you know you have that special loved one sitting there waiting for you, and you're saying, hey, you know what? I work hard, but I know that I work hard. This is what I'm working hard for, and I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to spend my time with you. My words are that way, you know. I'm touching situations that way. I can't even name all the people that he tamed. Rich Homie Quan. I got on the phone with Mace. I'm trying to put this guy's situation right here. Oh, this is going to be real crazy. Where I did a record called Killing Him, where it has Biggie in the background, you know, and it's the whole Bad Boy feel. Trust me when I tell you, this is a classic record. You play it, you will know off the bat, it's a smash.
Oh, yeah, when it's ready, we're going to blaze it out, for sure, definitely, all throughout EA Radio, definitely.
Yeah, so just trust me when I tell you, and then understand, the album is still, it's one of those joints where when you're with your special loved one, you know you can play this record, and you can play the album, and all you have to do is hit play, and you can let that record go. And I promise you, you're not going to be, like, usually everybody say, oh, he makes the records for the ladies. But in actuality, I make it for all the players, all the guys out there. We don't want to say too much. We let the music do the talking. When that young lady comes in, you're trying to impress her, and she goes and she steps inside your domain, whether it's your house, your car, whatever, and she's hearing those words, I don't care what type of mood she's in. She's about to be in an amazing mood, and trust me, it works good for the guys. So trust me, it's coming. Refueled is coming, baby.
Definitely. Well, you know, I mean, the whole network, Talk to Shay Lynn, EAE Radio, and Renegade Revolt, the social media and digital branding arm has your back on that. So we're going to be promoting it, the pre-orders. We're going to interview you again. We're going to be having snippets. It is everything that you need and want is going to be there for that, because you put everything into your all, which is great. Because you don't leave anything on the field. I mean, you just leave it all there. And that's the great thing about you that I love, is the fact that whatever it is, it's all or nothing with you. It's just all or nothing with you. So I definitely love that fact. Yeah, definitely. And we got to get Rich Homie Quan on the $1 million mindset. So definitely set that up for sure. We got to get him on the, definitely got to get him on the $1 million mindset talk show. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Love Rich Homie Quan. Definitely. I want to get into this new single you got. Talk about the new single that you got right now, like in the marketplace that you pushing.
Okay, so right now, I'm about to let go of two records. I mean, I was feeling real good. In December, when I was listening to the album, I said, you know what? I know I'm trying to have this album come out March, April, something like that, but I felt like I was being real stingy by just holding the music, playing it in my car, and nobody hearing it. So what I did was, I leaked the record called Killing Them. Now, of course, I left out the rapper because at the time I was speaking to several hip-hop artists that wanted to be on the album, on the record. So I said, you know what? I want people to understand what hip-hop and R&B really is right here. And I want people to understand what type of mode I'm in right now. So that record, Killing Them, that's out right now. Well, it's out floating around right now. I just want people to, you know, this, you can go on the SoundCloud, type in Slim 112, Killing Them, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I got a lot of great praise from, like, the DJs, basically saying, now this is real hip-hop and R&B. We can put this in any type of rotation. This is real fly, you know, my voice, you know, everybody can recognize it, and it's a great combination with the words. It's amazing. So basically, you know, I'm just letting the ladies know, hey, you're killing them.
No doubt.
Shout out to all the ladies out there doing their thing. You know what I mean? That's what, and it gives us guys the reason why we're fly and why we get cars and work hard and do our stuff, you know. Ladies, y'all get a lot of love. I just definitely want to give you the love that y'all definitely deserve.
I want to paint a quick picture for you, just real quick, and I want you to give me an answer. If you in front of 10,000, or is that a room full of your fans, and they're all loving your music, screaming your name, and the room got quiet, and you had to talk to them and just say a couple of things, what would you tell your female fans? Like what sentiments would come from your heart and through your mouth? Like, what would you say?
I would tell them to never settle. Always hold on to the fact that you are the queen. You are the reason of why things are moving. It's like, a woman in a man's life is like, you can't have the shell of a car with no engine. You know what I mean? You can't ride that car down. Like, and I just want that woman to always know their worth and keep their worth. Like, that's pretty much where I'm at with it. Because, like, whether it's music or what's going on in the world today, you know, like, I watch a lot of CNN, I watch a lot of news. Man, it's a lot of things going on. And I promise you, like, if women were more involved with a lot of things, and they were put more in the forefront where, like, they got their more appreciation than they do, the world probably a more better place. Because, like, this is the way God made us, you know?
Right.
Like,
I agree.
We think that we can do what we want to do, and people, you know, there's a lot of separation. But if we acted pretty much how God made us, man, the world would just be a better place. We need women. Like, they need us. Well, we definitely need women. And I just feel like that the worst. But I can't wait for it to go back around. I know this is like a 360 situation. I can't wait for it to get back to where divas was, like, prevalent in everything. You know what I mean? Like in the 90s, you know, we had a lot of divas. You know what I mean? Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think Beyonce was born? How she? The reason why y'all feel her the way she is right now. She's a 90s kid straight up. Like, we had a bunch of them. Celine Dion's, Shania Twain's. Like, man, I can go anywhere, however you want to look at any. Like, we had a lot of divas. And then right now, you know, like I said, I love music. I love every aspect of music. But, you know, just being a person that's in music, and I also critique music, the one thing that we're kind of, like, missing is the fact that, you know, the music, what the words are saying right now, kind of degrades situations. Like, and R&B, I kind of take it, it's kind of, like, disappointing to me, because R&B is supposed to soothe the soul. It's supposed to help the situation, not degrade anybody or anything like that. And music, women, is like the gasoline of why we do and what we say, So, you know, I just can't wait till we get back to that situation. So, yes. If everything gets quiet, I want everybody to, like, look at yourselves right now. Feel the energy of what I'm bringing out there and know your worth. That same feeling that I'm bringing out here on the stage right now, take it back with you. Take that positivity and then share it with somebody else. You are somebody. You are the queens. And this world can't work without you.
Absolutely. Definitely. Well, that was definitely the words that I know that they will want to hear and desire to hear, because you're speaking that language and that truth that is just reflective in their lives, man. So we definitely got love for that. You know, the one thing that I really respect and love about you, Salim, is this. When I listen to your voice, you know, and I'm hearing you over the last 50 minutes talk your talk, spit that spit, you know, tell your truth, describe your journey, I hear one thing in your voice the whole way through. The common denominator that I hear in your voice is one thing, and that's integrity. You know, everything screams integrity about you. It's like you always want to see the job get done. You don't want to leave anybody behind. You want to put the best foot forward, and you want to see things through. You want your real purpose to be heard. I love the fact that you have so much goodwill and integrity. That is, oh my God, that is a rare quality amongst people.
I really appreciate that you see that, because, you know, it's one thing to have all the accomplishments. You go out there and, you know, you get all the awards, you make all the money, you can drive all the cars with all the stuff or whatever. But who are you when you strip all that stuff away? It's all about your name, your integrity, what you leave out there. You know, me, it's always about the legacy. When you're gone, 50 years later, what are they going to say when your name comes up? Are they going to remember you? And what are they going to remember you for? And like I said, you know, when I was young, I remember sneaking, listening to, you know, my mom's music, my dad's music that they didn't want us to hear. You know, it was the Stevie Wonders. My mom's evangelist, so, you know, we weren't allowed to listen to
certain music. Right, I got you.
And I used to sneak and listen to the records or whatever, and I used to listen to the words, and I knew I was young, but for some reason, the words were so amazing, like, you know, and it kind of, like, touched you, even though you're, like, young, but, you know, it was enough to where I could understand, like, it was pure singing, like, they stood for something, you know, not just on the stage, but off the stage. So I said to myself, that's the type of artist I want to be. And I feel like that every artist after me has that same obligation. At the end of the day, you know, you don't want them to know you for the rigmarole more than what your message is, you know, and you're supposed to affect the world in a positive way. So that's exactly where I'm at with it. I've won everything. I've done all this stuff, you know. I still feel like I have other stuff to do. And
right.
Just, you know, the one thing I definitely want to put out there is the consistency. If everything else is out there thrown out there in the world, I want to be that star among all stars that shine this kind of way, where, hey, you know what? He was able to stand on the same stage for even more, and guess what? He stood for this, and that's it. And I'm willing to, it's all or nothing. I'm willing to roll my dice on that situation all day.
Absolutely.
It's easy to go out here and say it. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to go out here and say, you know, and you know, and being an artist, you know, when you listen to, I listen to thousands of records. This is presented to me, whatever, you know, and immediately, if the words say something that I just can't relate to, and I'm telling you, I'm not acting like I'm some goody two-shoes or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I know records, is this how you write it? You can say certain things without it being all the way said. Like, I can use other adjectives and adverbs and, you know what I mean, similes and metaphors than to use the direct word that might be offensive to everybody, you know what I mean? So I just feel like we need to go back to those days now, you know, to where, you know, music was more, I guess it was like nurtured.
Just more impactful, you know? More meaningful, more impactful. Yeah, yeah, more long-term standing. I got you on that, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. People, we're worldwide and we're always on. We got Slim in the building as regards to his music, his journey, his whole mindset. And we're glad to have on the Talk to Shaylin Networks, which is syndicated globally on the EAE Radio Network. So, Slim, I want to get into real quick. I want to get into this part because you've been 60 minutes in the booth, man. You've been killing it out here on this interview. Definitely. How can people find you on SoundCloud?
Well, man, I'm telling you, I'm not really into the social media stuff like that, but the one thing I am, you know, I'm on my Instagram, and you can catch me on official_slim_. That's
okay.
official_slim_. And right now I'm working on my own domain, so I really want people to see, just, you know, because, you know, like with certain social media, you can only, you know, like on Instagram, it's only 15 minutes.
15 seconds, right.
Because of how Facebook is set up. But, you know, you can only touch so many people unless you pay for this or whatever. But one thing, I'm a boss. I'm the CEO of my own label or whatever. I like to control, so I'm making my own domain. And I'm going to definitely put it out there in the mainstream so everybody can be able to see me uncut. This is what it is, behind the scenes and everything, you know. But for right now, I'm working on that right now. And so for right now, I have official_slim_. That's my Instagram. Please hit me up. Let me know, you know, what you think about anything. You know, I talk about all kinds of things. 2016, I definitely about to be more diversified as far as, like, my subject matter. It's not just going to be about what I eat about and stuff like that. Or,
gotcha,
you know,
definitely.
Where I am or whatever, you know. I think about, you know, things that's happening in the world, you know, religion, everything, you know.
Right.
Think about the president, people that's running for president right now. Who's going to be our commander-in-chief right now, you know. All kinds of things, you know. That's
definitely,
right,
man.
You know? That's why I am in 2016.
Definitely. Well, you know, don't forget, man, because, you know, and the reason why I brought up the SoundCloud page, because I know you said that you had your song out there, you know, killing. So I wanted to direct people to where they can actually just hear the song and everything like that. So Instagram, people, say it one more time for me, Slim.
Instagram is official_slim_. That's official_slim_. And SoundCloud, I think you can just download the app and then you just type the Slimmer 112 and you'll probably see it. Killing them.
Got it.
You'll see it. And I'm going to put that on my Instagram so everybody can just go directly, hit the page, you know, and I want people to definitely see just where I'm coming from. Because I haven't pushed a button or anything like that. It was just one of those things where I was listening to my music and I said, you know what, man, these people deserve to hear this music, you know. So I just put it out there. And Refuge is coming out 2016. I'm definitely, I'm aiming it for March or April. That's where I'm at with it, you know. I'm just so excited. You know, Refuge is definitely an amazing word to express how I feel about music and just where I am in my life. And I just want people to understand, like, when you listen to it, you're gonna not gonna just get a sense of, oh, the music is great, okay, whatever. But you know who I am as a person, where I stand, and how you know we relate to each other. You know,
absolutely,
from anybody that's listening. You know what I mean?
And definitely,
that's the way I want.
Definitely. Definitely. Slim, have you enjoyed being on the Million Dollar Mindset talk show today?
Oh, yes. I love it. I love it. And I'm telling you, Million Dollar Mindset is where everybody needs to be. Like, I'm probably going to take that phrase, too, and probably start putting it in my hashtags. Like, Million Dollar Mindset, everybody needs to have that, develop that mindset. Because that's parallel to what I was talking about. The land, just the days of the divas and how cats were, you know, they looked at themselves a certain kind of way where they cared themselves and it made the world a better place, you know. Like, there's a reason why the music game at that time, we were selling way more records and, you know, and it was way more profitable. Look at the words and the energy we were putting out there, you know. Everybody wanted to dance and party and they wanted to feel good. And it's time to bring that feel right back, you know.
Well, good. Well, listen, man, I'm glad that you've enjoyed being on the talk show. It's been nothing but 66 minutes and nothing but positivity, man, because we're the only people to do this on the Talk to Shay Lynn radio circuit, powered by EAE Radio, over 2 million listeners globally, over 30 licensed stations. And like I told you from the beginning, it was always going to be positive like that. We're honored to have you. Your whole career, man, is like not only Hollywood-like, but it's so surreal because you walk and speak and you actually act on your truth. So we appreciate you. We want to thank you for taking a time out of your busy day. And I'm glad that people heard this story, because I believe that this story is the story that people always need to hear. And I'm glad that you spoke your truth on the Talk to Shay Lynn Network. We're also going to do a positive article on this interview and post it on Talk to Shay Lynn, where people can see the different sides of you and everything like that. So that's going to be cool as well. That'll be ready 7 days from today. So that's also cool. So we're fully behind your brand, and we'll be speaking off air just regarding other things that we're going to be doing together and stuff like that. But appreciate the time. I appreciate your management and everything else. And any shout outs you want to give real quick?
Man, I just wanted to just give a big shout out to all the fans that have been supporting not only myself, but Q Mike, Slim, and DeJuan. Whole 112 Movement, this is our 20th year. We've been out since 2016. We came out in 1996. And y'all been standing by us since day one. I just want to thank everybody out there for supporting just great music, period. Doesn't matter what genre it is, you know. As long as it's something very, very positive and it's something that's going to change the world and just give you a better outlook, and just thank you all and keep supporting great music. You know, we're going to continue to keep giving it to you. Thank you so much.
All right, well, people, this is Slim of the supergroup 112, major independent recording artist. You know him. Did the song So Fly. Gold single, six-figure album sales, everything. This guy right here is here to stay, and his brand is growing at the right time. Slim, thank you for being on the talk show. God bless.
And thank you. God bless you.
AT&T knows the best kind of holiday is the kind where everyone gets what they wished for. Make this holiday extra happy when you buy one, get one free on our most popular smartphones, like the Samsung Galaxy S6. Buy one, get one free. So spread some cheer and capture every minute of it. Right now at AT&T, buy one, get one free on our most popular smartphones.